Well, what a week this has been. Yes or no?
Yes.
I submit to you, this has been a week of rather unique history. Think of this for a minute, a week of history. Well, okay, you'd say, of course it's been a week of history. It's now in the past, it's historical. But it's been a very significant week in history, I believe. So this, wow, does that seem really loud to you? Or does it seem okay? So, Philip, maybe in the monitor it's just feeding back to me. In this book, this is our Bible, right? They like to divide the Bible into at least five sections so that we can keep fresh and just keep excited about what we're reading and understand that God has a plan and he's revealing this plan through his word. And so the first five books of the Bible, we're still in those five books, yes? The Pentateuch, the books that are that Moses wrote. After that come what we call the historical books. We'll be into those next, but even the first five books and what are called the historical books are all about history. And it's very important that we remember some history. Someone has said that if we don't pay attention to history, we might repeat it. Correct? If we don't learn the lessons of history, we'll just keep going around the mountain for 40 more years. The next section in Scripture is called the poetry and wisdom section. You've got that all the way from the book of Job through to Song of Solomon. Wonderful poetic, illustrative language is used in the poetry and wisdom books. And then we come to the prophets. And they're divided, of course, into the major and the minor prophets, but that's not God's division. In God's word, they're the prophets of God. They are starting to speak to the people the things of the Lord. They look back at history, and then they give us a glimpse into the future. Yes? The prophets are amazing to read. And then, of course, after the prophets, at the end of Malachi, we begin the New Testament, broken down into really just a couple of sections. You've got the four Gospels and the book of Acts in one section, and then all the letters that come in the next section. The letters of these men of God who've been listening to the Lord that write to the church and tell the church how it needs to live a new covenant. Wow, this is exciting stuff.
Amen.
This has been a week of amazing history. Did you see on the news your president walking down across the bridge in Selma, Alabama, giving remembrance to a nation that needs to not forget some things? That treating people the way we treated them was horrible. And I thought it was a good thing. In fact, I thought it was a presidential thing for him to do that. It's been a week of history to not think about going back and treating people the way we once did, but moving ahead, remembering history, and now wanting to liberate how many of our people? All of them. Preceding this wonderful historical march, on Tuesday morning, the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, spoke to the Joint Congress. That means both the House of Representatives, 435 representatives of Congress, and the 100 senators. So that's all of the elected representatives of our nation held what was called a joint session. And here came the Prime Minister of Israel. How many of you got to see the speech? All right, so many of you did not see the speech. I was tempted to play it this morning. It's 40 minutes long, so I'm not going to do that. But I would encourage you to go home and just Google up Netanyahu's speech to Congress. It'll come up. You can watch the whole thing. You can also then scroll down in the Google search and read all of the comments about it, both the people loving it and all the people that didn't like it. You can read all the controversy about this, but I submit to you, it was a significant point in history.
Amen.
I want to read from Matthew chapter 24. And just, this is the words of Jesus Christ, and I just ask you to tell me or to think about this with me. Could Jesus, if he were standing here with us this morning, could these words be on his lips? It's Matthew 24, starting with verse 10. And many who have followed me and claimed to love me and sought God's kingdom will turn away. They will abandon the faith and betray and hate one another. The love that they had for one another will grow cold because few will obey the law. False prophets will appear. Many will be taken in by them, and the only thing that will grow is wickedness. There will be no end to the increase of wickedness. But those who do not waver from our path and do not follow those false prophets, those among you will be saved. And this good news of God's kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world, a testimony to all the people of all nations. Then, beloved, the end, the consummation of all things will come. Could that be spoken today?
Absolutely.
Are we living in perilous times?
Yes. Absolutely.
Are we seeing yet again an unveiling of history that's happened over and over before? Church, I know that some of you wrestle with these Old Testament books, especially in the like Leviticus and Numbers, where it seems to repeat over and over and over the story. Then we're going to get to the New Testament, and what will we repeat over and over? The coming, the birth, the life, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We will repeat that, will we not? Over and over. Wow. In 1 Chronicles 4:10, there is an interesting scripture called the Prayer of Jabez. Do you remember that? A few years ago, a fellow just wrote a tiny little book called the Prayer of Jabez. And he discovered, Wilkinson was his name, he discovered that if he prayed this prayer in his life and upon his family, that it seemed like God started blessing him. How many in the room wish blessing? I mean, is there anybody here who would say, I do not want the blessing of God? Of course not. We would say to you, Lord, we place you in the highest place. Bless, do not curse.
Amen.
And yet, how often are we remembering the things of God in our daily lives? What does it take to stir up the blessing? And what we've been reading through in Leviticus, he's telling us, oh, remember, God shows up to Moses and just tells him, tell the people this, tell the people this, tell the people this. Here's how I want you to live. And about a week later, the people are saying, what are we supposed to do? I could just see the frustration of Moses and Aaron. Well, sit down, children. Let's have the lesson again. Here's what God wants you to do. And about a week later, did he say something about what we were supposed to do? As you come in the church, there's a little basket of stones, and up here's a little pile of stones. This is just a way that we remember that God has done some things. God is not only up to something, he's doing things. And the idea of taking the stone and placing it at the foot of the cross to say, thank you, Lord, I remember something you've done. Some burden that I've carried, I'm putting it down at the foot of the cross, and I'm placing you in the highest place.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, in Genesis 12, do you remember reading the book of Genesis back in January? If you'd turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis 12. How would you like it if Jehovah, the Lord God Almighty, Elohim, however it is you want to try and conceptualize this God, if he were to come to you and say these words? Chapter 12, verse 2. I have plans to make a great people from your descendants. Can any of us handle that? God is saying, I have plans to make out of your descendants a great nation. Wow. Does God have plans?
Yes.
Do those plans include us?
Yes.
Now the very next verse. I will also bless those who bless you, and I'll trip up those who try to trip you. That's this translation. I will bless those who bless you and further you in your journey, and I will trip up those who try to trip you along the way. Others read it this way. I will bless those who bless Israel, and I will curse those who curse Israel. I'm not making a political speech. What this is about is a historical moment that I think happened last Tuesday, when the prime minister of this nation, Israel, stood in our Congress and addressed our people, really just basically asking for our continued support. And then he did take a step out of asking us for support by saying if we won't support him, his people, the nation Israel, will have to go it alone.
That's right.
Now this is what's caused all the political shock waves. This is what all the pundits are waxing eloquent about. This is what stirs your passions and, you know, puts you on the liberal or the conservative side. Forget all that for a minute. Think of it this way. The head of Israel comes and says to America, will you stand with me? And he's standing on one of the books of Moses that says, if you'll bless Israel, God will bless you. That gives me goosebumps. Now, does that mean we think Israel is always correct in everything they do and that all their decisions are right and pure? And it has nothing to do with politics.
Right. Hello. Amen.
It has everything to do with obedience to God.
Exactly.
If we will bless Israel, that is, if we will ask God's continued blessing on Israel, then the hand of God will be to bless America. If we withdraw our prayers for blessing Israel, is it possible that God would withdraw his hand of blessing upon America?
Yes, he will.
And I, for one, don't want to lose his blessing. I think this is absolutely amazing. I'm not prophesying. I'm not trying to make something that isn't here. But I looked up the word bless. Blessing and blessed, just to try and make sure that I was understanding what God was asking when he was saying, I want you to bless Israel. So bless, blessing, and blessed show up at least 496 times in the text. Not just in Genesis, from Genesis to Revelation, almost 500 times God talks about blessing. I mean, it's pretty important if it's in there 500 times.
Yes.
All right? All our big concern right now about homosexuality isn't mentioned but just a couple of times. A very few times, and we're making it a national deal.
That's right.
Blessing is in there 500 times and you hardly ever hear about it. Things are upside down. Do you know what the Hebrew word for blessing is? Anyone?
Baruch.
Huh?
Baruch.
B-A-R-A-K. Barak.
Yeah. Lord help us.
So I'm reading that and I'm going, wait a minute. Is there any connection of this to our president? So I looked up again this Hebrew definition of Barak, and the first definition is to bless. The second definition is to kneel.
Wow.
In order for a president, any president, to allow the blessing of God to come to America, he or she must first
kneel.
This has been a great, amazing time of history. Just this week. Are we going to be those that come and bend the knee before the Lord, our Maker? Are we going to be the ones who bow down and worship the King? Are we going to be the ones who crown Him? Steve had a worship set this morning. I didn't know what it was till this morning. It's very prophetic. Most of the songs had to do with bending the knee, worshiping God, bowing down before Him, rejoicing in the God who made us. The reason I'm taking this time to share this with you this morning is I think it's been a very interesting week in history. April the 4th is Passover, be the third blood moon in a tetrad of four blood moons. There's all kinds of speculation about what that means. We can all point to the same scriptures in Matthew that talk about the signs. And then we can caution one another not to try and determine the hour of His coming, because no man knows that. But Jesus Himself said, pay attention.
Amen.
Pay attention to what's going on.
Amen.
And you know, even if Jesus doesn't come for another 1,000 years, that doesn't mean that you and I should not be paying attention.
Amen.
Bending the knee, worshiping the Lord God our Maker. True?
Amen.
In our daily lives. I don't want to be the kind of guy that gets all turned on to Jesus Christ Sunday morning, and then by Wednesday afternoon I've forgotten Him.
Right.
Or not forgotten Him, but just gotten all consumed with life.
Right.
It's not like you're rejecting God when you get busy, but if you're not calling on Him, what are you calling on? If you're not placing Him first, who are you placing first?
Yourself.
If you're someone new to what we're doing here, you'll see at the front door, just on the table there, is a bunch of little pads that look about this big. And on the little pad, you'll see what we are doing this year as we read through the Bible together. So while the bulletin will show what the reading is for the week, each week we're asking three questions. Lord, show me where to walk. Rescue me from my enemies and teach me to do your will. And so as a church body, as a group of believers in Him, we want to know this stuff. Amen? And so we're not just plodding through the Word here trying to figure out what all these laws are about, but we're asking to make it very personal. Because I don't know about you, but I need the Lord.
Yeah.
I need the Lord through my week. It's not enough just to have Him, you know, Sunday morning. I need the Lord all week long.
Yeah.
Amen. With that said, would you open your Bibles, please, to Numbers chapter 14. That was the scripture beginning for this past week's reading. Right in Numbers chapter 14. And I just want to ask maybe one of your other translations, somebody who's got not this voice translation, but maybe the NIV or the New Living or the King James, some other translation, if you would just stand up. If you're willing to read us one verse. Okay, Sally, would you stand? Larry, would you stand? So what, two translations?
Yeah.
Which one?
English, New English version.
Okay, and Larry?
New King James.
New King James. Okay, so would you read chapter 14, verse 3b, the last section of verse 3.
Where it says, would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt?
Or that's it. How did it just say?
Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt?
Okay, Larry?
Same thing, return to Egypt.
Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? Mm-hmm. Anybody else got a different translation? Does it say anything different? Okay, so all of the scholars and everybody who reads this Hebrew text and then translates it to English comes up with the same question. Would it be better for us just to go back to Egypt?
Man.
No.
Come on.
What do we know about Egypt so far in our reading?
Oppression.
What?
Oppression.
Oppression?
More bricks, less straw.
More bricks, no straw, or fewer straw. Slavery?
Relying on man instead of God.
Relying on man? Captivity?
400 years.
400 years of oppression, yeah?
Death to young boys.
Oof. Yeah.
Death?
To your babies.
They had onions, melons, and leeks there.
They had onions, melons, and leeks. So are you saying you'd like to go back to Egypt?
Well, that's one of the, you know, when we look, we, if we're, you know, they were looking at, well, it was better for us in Egypt.
Than this manna and quail every day.
Yeah.
I mean, this steady diet of manna.
The trade-off for your babies, right?
It's kind of like God is saying, you know, if you folks don't like the presence of the Holy Spirit, go back to Egypt. If you don't like the thrilling times you have, or if the times you're having now aren't thrilling, how about Egypt? And whatever Egypt symbolizes, history repeats itself. And we as a people seem to be, We tire very quickly with the status quo.
Yes, we do. Amen.
Yeah.
And so how many of us would honestly say that my status quo is I'm on fire for Jesus Christ. I am excited. I am lifted high. I am walking in glory all week long. Or do we find that we start slipping back to Egypt? It's a great question. It began our week. So everything we're going to read on from Numbers 14 is going to address this question. Wouldn't it be good to just go back to Egypt? Okay, would you two stand again and read for me chapter 14, verse 41. As Moses attempts to answer the question.
And Moses said, "Now why do you transgress the command of the Lord? For this will not succeed."
See, the New King James tried to improve on the Old King James by making the language a little more friendly and readable and understanding. But it's using this word transgress. How many of you have used the word transgress in the last month? It's just not a word we use anymore. When we hear it, it just goes nowhere. It goes into that nothing box that all us men have. Yeah. Sally, how's this one read?
Moses said, "Why now are you transgressing the command of the Lord when that will not succeed?"
Yeah, why are you transgressing? And you know, all you people hear the word, don't transgress the Lord. You don't even know what transgress means. Well, let's see. Okay, it must mean, to transgress means I'm changing grass? What am I doing? What would it mean to transgress?
The Holman says it this way. But Moses responded, "Why are you going against the Lord's command? It won't succeed."
Yeah.
Disobeying.
NIV says, "Why are you disobeying the Lord's command?"
his will not succeed.
So to transgress means to disobey, which means to go against. Right? And so people argue with translations. The purpose of a Bible translation, dear one, is to make it understandable. Right? It's not just to carry on with something that was written in the 1400s. So now we would say, I love this one. It's very much like the Holman. Why do you keep doing what you're not supposed to do? You will not succeed in your efforts. It's almost like God, Skip is at home. He's reading. I'm going through my devotions. It's time for me in my little place. I'm going to read the Word of God. So just like you, I open it up and I read, why do you do the things you're not supposed to do? You're not going to succeed, right? Doing these things, the things that you're not supposed to do. It's almost like God is tapping you on the back saying, do the things I am asking you to do, and I will bless you. Now, this isn't some legalistic call to fundamental Puritanism where you get smacked by the nuns for doing wrong. This is God calling his people, not to obedience, calling his people to follow him. Right? When Jesus said to the first group of people, as he began calling what we now refer to as the disciples, he said, follow me. He didn't give them a whole big list of laws. He said, follow me. Right? And we can only guess as to what they might have thought, but the record of at least this bunch was that they laid down their nets or their tools or whatever they had, their tax collecting records, they laid that stuff down and they started following the pathway to success. Chapter 15, verse 39. Well, let me start with 38. Tell the Israelites. Okay. So, I had to stop with tell the Israelites. We'll get out here by 3 or 4, I promise. Tell the Israelites. God's going to say to Moses, he's going to give Moses an instruction to tell the Israelites. So, when God is saying, tell the people something, can we assume it's important? Yes. All right, it's good. What's going to come next is important. Tell the Israelites to make fringes on each corner of their clothes and include a blue thread in the fringe. What? What are you talking about? God's into fashion? And he wants fringe with a blue thread. What is he thinking? Why should I even bother reading this kind of stuff? This just seems ridiculous. In fact, all of the detail that's given in so many of these passages seems like, what is this all about? And just read the very next line. They should do this forever. Why? As it will bring to mind all the commandments and remind them not to wander off and to do whatever their eyes see or hearts desire and pursue them without restraint. It's kind of like somebody threw this rock in here. I don't know whose this is, but it's got written on it Isaiah 54. So whoever placed this rock at the foot of the cross was remembering something that God spoke to them in Isaiah 54. Maybe a deliverance, maybe a healing, maybe a hope, maybe a prophetic word. But God was saying something to this individual who, by placing the rock, is saying, I don't want to forget what God has done for me. Church, that's my drumbeat this morning, is that we not forget what God has done for us.
Amen.
And that even though I know you can get overwhelmed with the circumstances that you're in, I get it. But don't forget what God has done for you.
Amen.
And like the songs we sang, don't remember what he's going to do for you. Amen to that? He has done and he will do. And what we are wrestling with is the right now. I love the very end of chapter 18, Numbers 18. Just be careful that you treat the holy portion, what was set aside for me by the Israelites, with utmost respect, or else you'll die. Okay, if God showed up in your life, he came to your bedroom tonight, and he shook you in bed, and you opened your eyes and you saw the presence of God somehow filling your room, would that get your attention? You think you'd wake right up? Huh?
Yeah.
And if God then said to you, this, this, and this, or else you'll die, would you remember it?
Yes.
Or would you argue with him? This is such practical things. God is telling the people, here's how to live. And if you don't live this way,
you're going to die.
You're going to die.
We're all going to die.
I hope that you're stimulated more to read it than less to read it, because God is trying very hard, I think, to get our attention. I'm going to close with Numbers 23. Maybe. We got Balaam and Balak. We got this story going on. We got people talking with donkeys. We got all kinds of things. But look at 23 verse 19. 23 verse 19. God is not a man. He doesn't lie. God isn't the son of a man to want to take back what he said, or to say something and not follow through, or to speak and not act on it.
Hallelujah.
I think you can trust the Lord.
Yeah.
I think you can trust if he says something in his word that he means what he says.
Yeah.
And if there's a part in there that I don't understand, then boy howdy, it's okay to say to God, as you read the thing, I don't understand.
That's right.
That's right.
And so you can call somebody you know, you can get on the internet, you can call the pastor, all kinds of ways to try to understand. But sometimes you just have to move on and say, okay, I don't understand that. And you don't have to argue with God about it, but just say, for some reason that isn't meeting my needs right now.
Right.
And move on to the part that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Because this I promise you, church, I promise if you read God's word, he'll speak to your hearts.
Yes, he will. Yeah.
Over and over and over in the book, he gives us promise. Mm-hmm. Here's a way to live. Live like this. Don't live like this. So what do we do as people? We try to create all kinds of laws and punishments that if you break these laws of God, we'll punish you. And it just doesn't work. How many people do we have in jail right now?
Oh,
hundreds of thousands of them, right? And it's amazing. I understand that most people in American jail are in there for drug-related crimes. And now we're legalizing all the drugs. Actually, it makes much more sense to legalize the marijuana than it does to put the people in jail. Because if you legalize the stuff, the price goes down, you don't have the criminal element. Now, are you asking me if I'm in favor of smoking marijuana? That's not what I said at all.
No.
I'm in favor of decriminalizing it. Oh, this whole business about same-sex marriage. Get it. Get rid of it. It doesn't belong in the courts. It shouldn't be a legal issue, anything. It should be a church issue.
Yeah.
What do we care what the pagans do? What we care is what God says to us. Hello? What we care is how we are to behave. Yes? And then if a vote comes through, I can vote my conscience and say, this is how I feel. Let's read the book this week. Let's read it with an eye and an ear to question what God has asked for us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I want to close with a quick announcement. We have a couple of folks who have shown interest in being baptized in water. And so I'm going to have a class about that. If you or someone you know or extended family are interested in baptism, please let me know so that we can include you in this class. And then one of these days, very soon, you'll come to the Dayspring Baptistry on my deck. And we will celebrate what God does through the sacrament of baptism. Father, thank you so much for the way you live in us and through us, and how you want us simply to follow you and receive the blessings you so much want to give us. We give you praise today in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. God bless you, church. You are dismissed.